Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms and all of you anyway. Just have a happy day. It's great to see you today. You want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with the message. Today, it's almost afternoon, so this afternoon. And if you're with us online, we welcome you today as well. How many of you would say that you love your mom? Put your hands up. You love your mom. How many of you would say that she's the best on the planet? All right, yes. I would gladly say that about my mom. I do gladly say it, even though she's not on the planet. She's with the Lord and has been for 10 years now. As with most, my mom had an incredible impact on my life. Besides bringing me into the world after carrying me around within her for 9 months, besides feeding and clothing and taking care of me as I grew up, besides making me feel loved, even when I was disobedient, besides all of that, my mom was hugely influential in directing me to Jesus Christ. Even before she was a Jesus follower. In fact, I became a Jesus follower before she did. But she still had an influence on me coming to Christ. Every day she was on her knees praying for us kids. She imparted to me a deep respect for the Bible, even though she hadn't read much of it at that point in her life. She told me it was never wrong, that you could always trust it. My dad, he was an agnostic at that time. He was not a believer. He didn't go to church unless, you know, there was a wedding or funeral or something like that. But my mom saw to it that we were in church every Sunday. And she took us to our catechism classes on Saturday mornings. She was a real influence on me before she even knew Jesus. For Jesus. And when I grew into my teens and became angry and disrespectful and foul-mouthed, I still knew that God is real because of my mom. She passed away in 2013 into the presence of the Lord. At that point, she had been a Jesus follower for 4 decades. I'm so grateful to be able to have the honor of officiating at her funeral. I so wish that I could see her and talk with her today, because even though I knew Jesus for decades at 2013, since that time, I've grown to love Jesus even more. And the more I love Jesus, I find the more I love and appreciate and miss my mom. You see, Jesus has that kind of an effect on people. The more you love him, the more you love others. It just works that way. And today, we're going to see how. The title of today's message is Mom at the Cross. We're going to learn from Jesus how to treat our moms by observing how he treated his mother and how he treated women in general. So whether you're a mom or not, We can learn so much from Jesus' example of how to treat mom, our moms, and women in general. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else. It goes like this. Treat your mom as Jesus treated his. Treat your mom the same way Jesus, but we are followers of Jesus, right? So that should be our pattern. He is our pattern. Today's scripture passage is John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This takes us right to the foot of the cross. Help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. That's the word of the Lord. We're looking today at three ways Jesus values moms and all women. The first way, it's there on your outline, he includes you. We're told in that passage that near Jesus' cross stood four women. Jesus' mom, his mom's sister, she's not named, and then Mary, the wife of Clopas, and then Mary Magdalene. Now, these are not just bystanders or spectators. Hey, I hear there's a crucifixion today. Nothing else to do. Let's go watch it. No. These are Jesus' followers, his female followers, at least some of them. In Jesus' day, you see, Jewish women did not become disciples of rabbis. But Jesus broke new ground here. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 1 and following, says this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, that's his 12 apostles, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. They must have been well-to-do to be able to leave their families and follow Jesus and help out in this important way. We find elsewhere that Jesus taught women and included them among his disciples. Now, as far as we know, Jesus was the first rabbi with female followers. He included them and taught them. In fact, it wasn't just in his class or his circle of friends. He included them as family members. Mark chapter 3, verse 35 records Jesus as saying, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is really remarkable. It really is for that day and age. Just was kind of unheard of. Most significantly, we see at Jesus' cross is his mother, Mary. By standing there at the cross, she is declaring herself a follower of Jesus. And it's on the day Jesus' popularity, his standing in the polls, his approval rating is at an all-time low. He's a mob screaming out, crucify him, crucify him. He's got people jeering at him, mocking at him, spitting at him on the cross. For Mary, this had to be the hardest day in her life, watching her son slowly tortured to death, hung up, naked, before a mocking crowd as his life just ebbed away minute by minute. He's in agony. Jesus included women when it was unheard of to do so. And now, at the cross, women, the women he had stood up for, are standing up for him when most of his male followers had bolted. You know, historically, Christianity has been very popular with women, still is to this day. It was from the very beginning, because they felt welcomed and included by Jesus. In the church, women found that they had status that they didn't have in the society at large. Now, tragically, too often, women have been and still are badly treated by some church leaders, degraded, even abused, or confined out to the church nursery. That's all they're good for, so it is thought. But not so with Jesus. As true Christ followers, we have to follow him in this. We have to honor them, respect them, especially our moms, as did Jesus. Let's look at the second way Jesus values moms and all women. He cares for you. In Jesus' day, it was the oldest son's responsibility to take care of his aging mother if the husband, the father, had died. And Jesus is the firstborn son of Mary. So he would be the guy to do that because her husband, Joseph, had died by this time. But Jesus was about to die. He's going to die before she does. 3 days later, he's going to be raised from the dead. 40 days after that, he's going to ascend into heaven to be seated in power and glory next to the Father. And where does that leave Mary? She has no one to take care of her. Well, what about the other brothers? You know, Jesus did have siblings. We're told in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 6, we're even given their names, that he had 4 brothers. And next in line after Jesus was James. But James was not a follower of Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus. As a rabbi, he had gone off with the other brothers and was not a follower. And because they left and Mary came to follow Jesus, that left her without anybody. And so this is the situation at the cross. She has no family member to take care of her, but Jesus cares. Our scripture text says that when Jesus saw his mom standing there, and his best friend, the Apostle John. He's called in the Gospel of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. When we put the pieces together, we kind of, one thing leads to another, we deduce that this is John the Apostle. Well, look what Jesus says. He says to her, his mother, "Woman, here is your son." You say, why does he call her woman? That sounds kind of disrespectful. No, not in that culture. This would not be understood as disrespectful. On the contrary, it was odd. We have no other case in ancient literature of a son calling his mother woman. But it wasn't because it was dishonorable. It was just, might sound kind of formal. Like if you call your mom ma'am. But it's not disrespectful. He says, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus cares about his mom and sees to her needs. In his ministry, he insisted on this. He insisted on parents or kids taking care of their elderly parents when they're not able to do so. Here, Jesus gives one of his last dying breaths to see to his mom's needs, to her care. He entrusted her to the best friend he had, his closest buddy, the disciple whom he loved. He gave his best for her. After Jesus arose from the dead, he appeared to his half-brother, James, the oldest. We're told this in 1 Corinthians 15. And James became a believer, as did Jesus' other brothers. And on the day of Pentecost, when they're all gathered together, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, there is Mary. There are the brothers of Jesus, right there, following Jesus. James followed Jesus to his death. He was stoned to death for his faith in Christ. And so they all become devout Jesus followers. As Jesus followers, we have to follow him in the way he followed or he cared for his mother. For some of us, mom has passed away, maybe many years ago. For others, there may be hard feelings between you and mom. Maybe she let you down during your growing up years in the past, or maybe there's still a wedge there. You don't have much contact with her. Whatever the case, you owe her your love, honor, and if she needs it, your forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is the way of Christ. We extend forgiveness whether somebody asks for it or not, whether they repent or not. We take them off of our hook. They're, you know, God will deal with them, but we don't hold grudges. This is the way of Christ, and so it has to be our way. Jesus honored his mom with his dying breath on the cross. He gave his life for her and for all of us. Today, remember to honor your mom. Honor her with words. Even if she's passed, maybe when you get the family, you know, tell some good stories about mom. Honor her. Honor her with respect. Honor her with grace. The third way Jesus values moms and all women is he'll save you. You know, when I was growing up, my mom, to me, was the most loving person on the planet. I mean, in my mind, she was perfect. Really. The idea that my mom was a sinner who needed to be saved from hell? Well, that was preposterous. That was unthinkable. But when I grew up, I got a more realistic picture. I knew she wasn't perfect. No one is. And of course, she gladly admitted this. She was a very humble person. She came to know Jesus as her Savior, and she said, I need the grace of God. I'm a sinner. I need Christ to be saved. And she was saved. Not too long after I became a Jesus follower, she did as well. Mary, Jesus' mother, was the godliest person who ever walked the planet. God chose her for the greatest privilege ever granted a human being, to carry within her for 9 months, imagine this, God in human flesh, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, growing inside of her. Amazing. Conceived within her by, not by sexual relations with a man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We call this the virgin birth. More accurately, it's the virgin conception. Either way, it's true. Mary raised him, changed his diapers, helped him take his first step. Mary was one of a kind. But even Mary needed to be saved. Say what? Yes. Even Mary needed to be saved. Well, where do you get that? I get it from her. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. These are her words. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior. Mary had a Savior. This is amazing. If Mary needed a Savior, how much more do I? How much more do we all? Now, maybe you're wondering what our Roman Catholic friends say about this verse. Surely, they must be aware of it. There are many very knowledgeable Catholics. What do they say about it? You know that Roman Catholics believe that Mary never committed a sin in her whole life. She was a sinless human being from start to finish. And yet, knowledgeable Roman Catholics will tell you that Mary indeed needed a Savior from her sin. Well, how do they get this? Well, they say she's a special case because Mary was saved from her sin. She was redeemed the moment she was conceived in her mother's womb. They refer to this as the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. Some people think when they hear that it's talking about the virgin conception of Jesus, but that's not what that doctrine refers to. It refers to the conception of Mary in her mother's womb. Now, I respectfully disagree with our dear Roman Catholic friends on this point. I don't see any biblical support for that. But we both agree that even Mary needed a Savior. Even Mary needed saving, that her salvation from sin was paid for by her son's death on the cross. You can read it in their official doctrine. It's there. I know, I was Roman Catholic, brought up that way. Two Roman Catholic families, on both sides, my mom and my dad's side. And so, on this point, we agree. I find that when I talk to unbelievers, there are basically two kinds of people. One, those who think they've messed up so badly that God could never forgive them. Ugh, if you only knew what I've done. To show them they're wrong, I point to murderous scoundrels in the Bible, like King Manasseh, the terrorist who was crucified next to Jesus, Saul of Tarsus, who murdered Christians before he became a Christ follower. And I point out that these people were saved. God forgave them when they repented of their sin. And so, if they could be saved, all of us can be saved. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." That's for you, that's for me. John 6:37. No matter how nasty, come to him. In Jesus you find forgiveness. You find wholeness, freedom, and his joy. The second kind of people are those who think they're good people who don't need saving. You ask the average person, "Are you a good person?" They'll say, "Yeah, I'm a good person." Now, to show them that they need a Savior, I point to Mary. Because in their book, they think their good works outweigh their bad. Okay, and so when they stand before God, he's going to say, "Well, you're pretty decent. You're a good person. Yeah, you're not perfect. No one is, but we'll let you in." But when I point to Mary, I point out that she needed a Savior. Even she would be hell-bound if it were not for the cross of Jesus Christ, who paid the punishment for all of our sins and arose from the dead. If you're not a Christ follower, Jesus welcomes you to join his mom and all of his followers at the foot of the cross to repent of your sins and to entrust yourself to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Say, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Have you visited the cross? Are you his follower? Have you declared Christ as Lord and Savior, and trusted yourself to him? If you have, we're going to have supper here together in just a moment. I'm going to ask those assisting with communion to come forward for that. And the praise band is going to come up here in a few moments and lead us in a song. These elements that we're going to pass around, the bread and the juice, They represent Jesus' broken body and his poured out blood. When you take these into yourself, you're saying, I am a Jesus follower. I've trusted in him as my Lord and Savior. I'm his follower. I've given my life to him, and I would gladly lay my life down for him. That's what you're saying. And so don't make a statement about yourself if it isn't true, if you've never made that commitment to Christ. You've never been saved. Don't make a statement about yourself that isn't true. Or if you're a believer and you're not walking in obedience to the Lord, then if you're not willing to repent, then just let the elements pass. That's okay. We love you anyway. God loves you. But better yet, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Not only can you eat, but you can find forgiveness in him. So let's take a moment to confess our sins, a moment of silence here, to thank him, to remember him, and then we'll partake together. The elements will be passed around, and you'll get both in one cup, the bread and the juice. Just wait for everybody to get it so we can all partake together, all right? Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your dear Son for our salvation. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, as we make this declaration, may it be from the heart, and may you keep the blood of Jesus washing us continually from our sins. And may we live bolder and brighter for you as a result of this time meeting with you. We pray your blessing on this memorial celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.